This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're locked in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today on the program, we pay tribute and celebrate the life of Sidney Tung, one of the architects of Malaysian Tenpin Bowling Congress, a man who served the sport for decades. He passed away earlier in the month at the age of 74. Survived by his wife Vicky Kok and their two daughters Vivian and Lisa, Sidney Tung retired from the Malaysian Tenpin Bowling Congress of illness after serving a mammoth 35 years in multiple positions in the Congress. Together with current president Datuk P.S. Naden, both Sidney and Datuk Naden played an instrumental role in making Malaysia a bowling powerhouse. This week, Harish Deo speaks to Datuk P.S. Naden as together they celebrate the life of Sidney's colourful journey in the bowling alleys.
It was 1975-76. He came into our meetings because he was a Federal Territory Secretary, and we were looking for volunteers to help. I had just formed the Malaysian Tenpin Bowling Congress in 74, and we had a group of just three of us, Secretary, Treasurer, PTAP Secretary, and Tan Lee Lim Treasurer, and we were struggling along with not even a shoestring budget. Most of the funds coming from my own pocket. And he joined us, and I found him very committed, very keen, very humble, very disciplined. So then I said, hey, why don't you become our assistant secretary? He was very willing. And from then on, he became totally involved in bowling. And for him, it was the love of the sport. He could bowl a bit. The love of the sport and the love of the entire setup of the organization, though it was very, it was just the beginning. My first impression and my impression of him or my knowledge of him till today is the same. Very humble, very hardworking, very disciplined, very honest, very loyal. In any establishment, industry, if you're the boss, what you like of... Like, I have got about 12 staff in my medical practice. To me, the most important thing, and the same prevails in my as bowling president. I've been the bowling president since 74 till now, about 47 years. And he has been with me for about 30-odd years. In short, I would say he's been the cradle of my dreams, the ideal guy you would want as a secretary. As I said, honesty, no sort of corruption, though later years he had to handle a lot of funds. So honesty comes in, loyalty. When on the occasions when I was going for the president of the Asian Bowling Federation and then the World Bowling Federation, he was totally with me. He would campaign for me. And in fact, I didn't go campaigning. The people wanted me to campaign. So I think he's one of the best secretaries that anyone can hope to have.
Doctor, you said about him being the ideal candidate, him being loyal. He was so loyal to bowling and to serving the Malaysian Tenpin Bowling Congress that you know, before the show, you told us that he even quit his job as a draftsman to be...
Yes.
Yeah, could you please tell us a little bit more about that?
What happened is since he became our secretary, he spent so much time with bowling that his employers were concerned. And his boss himself did ask me, hey, your secretary is spending too much time with bowling. And Sidney knew about it. He came and asked me, he said, I'd like to give up my job and become full-time with bowling. And I told him, look, we don't have any money. You're getting 2,000 odd those days, 1975. You come here, you won't get a penny. At best, I can scrape up about $300, which is what I gave him. Mainly as transport allowance. He said, no, I want to become full-time. Yes, he resigned, he came full-time, and he has since been full-time with me for 33 years. And one of the, how shall I say, a reflection of his total commitment to the sport, to the association, and to me, is that he will be in the office even at 1, 2 in the morning. I'm one of those guys who will be working late, and I'll call him sometimes at 12 o'clock and apologize, "Hey, sorry to disturb you." He'll say, "No, doctor, I'm still in the office, 1, 2 in the morning." Number two, he has not taken a single day leave in all his 33 years. Public holidays, weekends, he's there. And he's there from morning 9 o'clock till about 1, 2. He had staff out late in the later years. They will all go home at 5, but he will be there in the office. It also happens it's also part of the bowling center. So that's in Nitong.
With Sydney coming on board as a full-time staff, what do you think would have been his greatest motivation to ditch a career, the possibility of a more comfortable life to serve bowling?
Actually, it's not. I would think that he was an artist. Mm-hmm. He could draw, write well. That's probably part of the reason why he went in. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you. Maybe it's the fact that he was associated with me and he saw my passion for the sport, the amount of time I'm spending in the sport. And he felt that we should have asked him when he was alive. He felt he could contribute and he wanted to contribute. Can you imagine somebody giving up a full-time professional job? You know, it's a professional job. It's a qualified, certified,
draftsman. Yeah.
He could speak more than one language, you know. He could speak Korean and Japanese. So I think it's the love of the sport and the association, the people he mixed around with, me, Peter Yap, Stanley Lim, and he could see that all three of us was totally committed to the sport and spend hours and hours, excluding me, in the bowling center. That is what must have drawn him to it.
You spend so much of time with Sydney. You pretty much, in a way, I would say, grew up with him in many ways. Now, what was he like? Is there something about...
he grew up with me.
He grew up with you, okay. but you just mentioned earlier that, you know, he could speak Korean and Japanese.
Mm. I realized this much later.
Yeah, but what are other traits that many people do not know about Sydney?
Actually, Sydney was pretty well known in the bowling circles, not only in Malaysia, but in Asia and in the world. In both those occasions, he was my Secretary General when I was President of Asian Bowling and then World Bowling for 12 years. So he traveled with me wherever I went. Mm-hmm. And he would do all the... don't like to use the word dirty work. He'll do all the
groundwork.
The groundwork as well as all those necessities of Secretary General. He'd do it very well, very thoroughly, hardly any supervision required. He did not come for name or fame. He came to work and to contribute. And as I said to you earlier, he was a cradle of my dreams. Very, very difficult to find a Secretary General or a secretary in any office of the breed of Sydney Tong.
So he would be the perfect worker, I would say, one who has never taken a single day of leave, except for Chinese New Year, perhaps. Mm. But yeah.
Not even Chinese
New Year. Wow, okay.
He'd be there.
Yeah, could you tell us more about that?
Well, he's there. You ring up at 10, 11. Maybe he may come in sort of 9, he may come in 10, 11, but he's there. Only time he might go out is for a dinner, some important dinner, and then back till 12:01. How do I know? I have to ring up and say, "Hey, Sydney, sorry I'm disturbing you." He said, "No, doctor, I'm in the office." 12:12. He knows that I'm also awake at that time. Most of my bowling officials also know I'm there at any time, even till today for that matter.
So
now, one of the best memories I can remember of him, which typifies in a way or in many ways his character, is in one of the tournaments, all our bowling tournaments, he's the secretary there and he's the one who takes in entries and gives the slots for the events. One of the chaps who's an employee of one of our main sponsors wanted a slot and Sydney couldn't give him. He said, "Sorry, La, It's all full. Only tomorrow I can give him. Mm-hmm. He pleaded with Sydney. Sydney said, there is nothing I can do. I've already given up. All the slots are full. And this chap got angry and took out his shoes and wanted to beat him up.
Ow.
I was not there. Then somehow people quietened him and the guy went away. And when I heard about it, I was furious. Mm-hmm. I said, there's no way anybody can come into my association and try and beat up my secretary. Mm-hmm. I asked Sydney, is this true? He said, yes. I said, I'm going to pull him up for disciplinary action because he's a bowler and a member. Mm-hmm. And I want you to stand witness. He said, no, Doc, I won't stand witness. I don't want, no, forget it, leave it. I said, no, I'm going to bring him. Indeed, I brought him up eventually. And Cindy did not want to testify. I brought him up. All I asked the guy is, you go and apologize to Sydney. Mm. And we'll drop the matter. He didn't. And he was suspended for life. And I told him, you can become a member again once you go and apologize. Mm-hmm. And Sydney didn't want to testify. Now, that's the sort of guy. Mm-hmm. Here is a guy who comes and takes out the shoes, wants to whack you mm-hmm. as a secretary of a national association, mm-hmm. and you don't want to bring him to justice.
Now, the thing is that you've enjoyed many experiences, many tales with Sydney throughout the bullying journey. And we all know, those who, within the circle, Sydney has not been well for quite some time. That is why
he became unwell. Uh-huh. That's a small story behind that.
Okay.
He came one day to me, to my office. Normally he comes to my office only to sign checks, mm-hmm. Which is once a month. Mm-hmm. And once when he came, he did mention quite casually, hey Doc, I've got a numbness here, I can't feel any sensation here. I said, how long? He said, it's about a week to 10 days. I said, why don't you come to me earlier? Mm. He said, no, I didn't think about it. I knew straight away there's something wrong with this mm-hmm. postnasal space. There is a nerve that supplies here, and that nerve has somehow been affected. Actually, I wanted to use the word buggered up. So I said, no, let me examine you. I examined him and found that there was something in his postnasal space. Mm-hmm. So I immediately referred him. I said, please go and see so-and-so immediately. Mm-hmm. Asked him to go and see the ENT, mm-hmm. Dr. Harnam. Mm-hmm. When I saw, confirmed within a day that he has got cancer there. Mm-hmm. Immediately, treatment began, mm-hmm. followed up with radiotherapy. That's when his illness, his death began gradually mm-hmm. over a period of 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. He had treatment. Everything was gone, satisfactory, radiotherapy, chemotherapy, fine. Then a few months later, he began to lose his vision. Mm. That's a function of one of the side effects of radiotherapy. Mm-hmm. Because the quantum of radiation that can be given mm-hmm. is sometimes not very finite. Mm-hmm. It is at the experience and the skill of the radiotherapist, mm-hmm. the dosage and so on. Mm-hmm. You got to assess the thickness of the bone, the skull of the patient, and so on. So he began to lose his vision, went to treatment, and they found, yes, this is a function of the radiotherapy and the tumor that was there. Then he began to lose his hearing. And then he gradually, over a period of 1 year or so, he began to go into early dementia. So much so that during meetings I found, you see, he doesn't know shorthand, but he'll write pretty fast and very accurately. Mm-hmm. I found that he couldn't remember things. Immediately I knew this is a function of early dementia. Mm-hmm. So I told him to take off because he was not able to recall many of the things. Mm-hmm. And he himself felt embarrassed. Mm-hmm. So he went on a leave for about a year. Mm-hmm. And our assistant secretary at that time, B.C. Chia, took over and was running it. Then after 1 year, he got a stroke. Was completely paralyzed, was in the hospital. Came out, he couldn't speak. Half his body was paralyzed. Of course, by the time he had retired, but we kept in touch. And he would come to the bowling center even then. Almost every day he'll come to the bowling center, just walk around mm-hmm. for 1 or 2 hours and go back. Then after his stroke, he went down fast. So the whole illness lasted about 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he was going to pass on is something that I knew. It was not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
He went in and out of the hospital, stroke, mm-hmm. coma. They resuscitated him, came back. His family went through quite a bit. Would have been a financial strain. But at the end of the day, I'm sure if anybody deserves to go to moksha, mm-hmm. that's Sydney.
That was Harish Deo speaking to Datuk P.S. Naden, where this week we celebrate and remember the life of the late Sydney Tung. Stay tuned, more of that conversation coming up on Bar None, only here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name is Daryl Ong, and today on the show, we're joined by Malaysian 10-pin Bowling Congress President Datuk P.S. Naden, where this week we're remembering and celebrating the life of Sydney Tung, who earlier in the month, June the 3rd, passed away from illness. A dedicated sports official, he started off as an assistant secretary in 1978, serving 35 years in multiple roles before retiring in 2013. Harish Deo speaks to Datuk Naden and discussed the legacy that Sydney will leave behind.
One can never hope to get a better secretary than he, mm-hmm. in a sports association or in any industry. He can pick up things very fast. And as I said, to me, as an employer, mm-hmm. two things are vital: honesty, loyalty. Mm-hmm. You can do anything else, I don't mind. But these two things you cannot breach. Mm-hmm. Once you breach it, there is no relationship.
Trust.
You lose confidence, you lose faith, mm-hmm. you mistrust the person. Mm-hmm. It'll become a very nasty, unacceptable relationship. But he was just the reverse. As I said, he's very, very difficult to find somebody so totally and comprehensively mm-hmm. good in every aspect.
Do you think we can pay tribute to Sydney by organising, let's say, for example, a bowling tournament where the proceeds will go to a charitable organisation? Is that something in the pipeline, or have you all discussed about this?
I have that in mind. Mm-hmm. To create an event in our Malaysian championship and mm-hmm. name it after him.
Mm-hmm.
The question of raising funds is zero.
Okay.
Very difficult to raise funds. But okay. the most important thing is to have a tournament named after him so that at every international championship or national championship, mm-hmm. his name will be mentioned and remembered. And everyone will recognize it. Sydney's, I've been thinking about it, which one. We already have one named after my deputy president, Peter Yap's under-12 championship or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 4-year-old and so on participating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very well funded by Nestle. And I'll think about one where we will have it. In fact, I'm already have in mind to propose his name to go into the Hall of Fame mm-hmm. of the OCM, Olympic yeah. Committee of Malaysia. He's already in our own Hall of Fame. I won't say the absurdity of it all, the wonderment that I go through often mm-hmm. in Malaysia
mm-hmm.
is here is a man who served the country 33 odd years
mm-hmm.
without taking a day leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the Olympic Committee knows him. The ministry officials, generations of them know him
mm-hmm.
and love him because mm-hmm. he's never confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
Always, he will never ruffle any feathers.
Mm-hmm.
He's always very acceptable to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, nobody proposed him for a datoship. I tried. The least they could give him on their own was, I don't know whether this should go in publication or not.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's either he got an AMN or KMN, mm-hmm. one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But not a datoship. Because mm-hmm. as you and I know, AMN, KMN means nothing to mm-hmm. nearly everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Except in the ministries. But datoship, yes, it mm-hmm. rings a bell.
Correct.
It rings a bell that you are somebody. He should have got that. But I will be proposing to the Olympic Committee posthumously to put him into this Hall of Fame.
Excellent. Now, what can we learn from Sydney's administration methods? You said that being honest, being loyal, two very important traits that you look in when it comes to a person you're working with, a colleague you're working with. But his administration methods, I know for a fact that, and you spoke about relationships earlier, his relationship with the media was extremely good. In fact, there were times where he would actually literally tell the media how to write, how to approach the story, you know, just to help the media publicize the sport. And yeah, I would you consider this as one of his administration, good administration ways where you know, he's easily approachable, he makes it a point to reach out? Your thoughts?
Yes. No, actually, I was the one who told him,
okay,
get to the media. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling even my present secretaries, everybody else, I keep telling all sports administrators, without the media, you don't have sport, mm-hmm. period. You can have the best tournament within the four walls of any sporting avenue, but without the media, mm-hmm. that's the end of it. So the media is absolutely vital for the sustenance and the promotion of sport. So I said, ring up the sports writers. We have a press conference before our championships, mm-hmm. for the sole purpose of getting the sports writers, those guys who are on the, what do you call it, not on the street, what's the word you use?
The reporters, the journalists.
Reporters, those who come around and take stories and so on. Yeah. It's important for them, for their livelihood and for their promotion, I know, and also important for us. Without sports, whether written, media, television, whatever, mm-hmm. sports will be dead. So I used to tell him, go call them, give them the story, teach them about bowling. We used to invite the reporters to come and give them free games, mm-hmm. so that they know what it is about and so they can intelligently write about the sport rather than just be a documentation of events, which they do. Most of the at the moment, Ajit Pal knew quite a lot. We trained him. And then the star, Siu Meng, the present star bowling writer, Rajesh used to know.
Yeah. She's the sports editor.
Yes. Yeah. So we used to teach them about the sport, mm-hmm. so that when they come, they know, they can follow. One of the negative things about 10-pin bowling is it's very difficult to follow the sport. In mm-hmm. fact, when I called the director of sports of the International Olympic Committee to try and get bowling into the Olympics, I invited him for our championships, all expenses paid. He came to this thing. At the end of it, he told me two things. Doctor, your sport is too technical. Mm-hmm. Very amazing for a man who sat there just 6-7 hours to come to the conclusion, and that's very true. And then he said, not spectator friendly. Those are his exact words. Mm-hmm. I said, what do you mean? He said, very difficult to follow your sport. If I were to go to a soccer match, I can see one goal goes in, I know this side is winning. Mm-hmm. One goal goes this side, it's a draw. But yours, I can't see. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to follow, and it's so true. Mm-hmm. To which end, I did my best to try and change the scoring system so that it'll be spectator-friendly, where people can see who is number one, who is number 10, and mm-hmm. so on. So in that sense, Sydney carried out his duties all the time, call, and he would even offer, I know without mentioning names, I know a couple of sports writers, mm-hmm. Whom he took on to our world championships, okay. where the newspaper did not want to cover the expenses. Mm-hmm. So somehow he'll get a ticket for them, and then he'll share his room with them, mm-hmm. So the guy can come and write the story and enjoy the trip and so on. So he's that kind of a man, very friendly, very difficult to upset him in any way.
Do you think there will ever be another Sydney Tung?
In life, you can never say there will never ever be somebody mm-hmm. like somebody else. Mm-hmm. It'll happen. I can say safely it'll be difficult to find somebody better than him as a secretary. Mm-hmm. You know, like one is you have in any administration, you have leaders and you have followers. The followers are not just followers, they are executive followers. In other words, they do the things that the leader wants him to do, and do it intelligently, comprehensively, and prompt on time. This is another very important quality which any secretary should have, which he has in abundance. Mm-hmm. You tell him, hey, Sydney, I want you to do this tomorrow or day after. It'll be done by tomorrow. It'll be done, and he'll tell you, I've done this. You have many instances where you tell a guy to do something and it's never done, mm-hmm. and you don't remember it. And then 2 weeks later, you ring him up and ask him, have you done it? He said, oh, sorry, doc, I forgot. That's not Sydney.
Yeah.
This will be done promptly.
That was Harish Deo speaking to Dato' P.S. Nadin as we celebrate and remember the life of dedicated sports official, the late Sydney Tung. If you'd like to revisit the episode, you can head over to our website www.bfm.my/Bahanan. You also can get in touch with us via Twitter at BFM Radio. My name's Daryl Ong, thanks for listening, and do join us again next week right here on Bahanan, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.